music, news, and so much more. This is Radio Bucky.
Hello and welcome aboard Logan Story Express. Today I have Scott, a now a junior champion with Logan's Fund, and I'm going to do an interview. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
How's your experience been so far?
Yeah, it's been good. Really good.
Why did you join Logan's Fund?
I joined Logan's Fund because I seen one of the Facebook adverts come up about them, and I just thought it's a really, really good charity to work with and to help.
So have you ever met any kids with the same kind of things that Logan had?
Yeah, my little cousin, a couple of years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. And yeah, so Logan's Fund offered to help her. Although she didn't take, well, family, my auntie and uncle didn't take the help. They offered to help her, which was really good and supported us.
Have you been in any of the fundraisers?
Yeah, so I've organised a couple of fundraisers for them, and it's been really successful.
What about the caravan
place? Logan Sunny Days is a great little project, and it supports all children all over Scotland that are going through cancer and their families. So there's a caravan in Lossiemouth, which is what, like, any child going through it is welcome to come for a respite trip.
What about the websites? Where can the watchers contact Logan's Fund?
Logan's Fund's got a website. It's www.logansfund.org. And we've got lots of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and a YouTube channel too, which I didn't know about until last night. So subscribe to us and like us and message us if you want to.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's chat about our local charities on Radio Bucky.
Hello and welcome to Logan Story Express. And today I'm here with Cameron. I'm doing an interview and let's get started. Why did you get into Logan's Fund?
Oh, thank you for having me on, first of all.
You're welcome.
Got into Logan's Fund. I joined Logan's Fund when there was raising funds to get Logan to the United States. For his treatment back in 2009, and the reason I got involved is I decided to do an endurance event and wanted a pretty good cause to do it for, and Logan's Fund had not long started at the time, so I decided to do the event that I was doing for Logan as part of his treatment, and I think I was possibly the last person that did an event while Logan was still here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... And that's kind of how I got involved in Logan's Fund. And then when the time came to continue on as a charity without Logan, I carried on and still here. I've not got rid of me.
That's really nice. How long have you been doing it?
Since 2009. So I was fundraising up until Logan passed away in June 2009. And then joined the committee sometime after that. There was a meeting decided whether or not to carry on Logan's Fund after that, because charitable status had been granted, ironically, the same day Logan had passed away. Just by chance, the charity regulator passed Logan's charitable status the same day. So we had a meeting to decide whether or not, because of the work that had gone in and the amount of money that was raised, whether or not to carry on Logan's Fund. And we decided that we would and try and support other families that had been through the same thing as what Logan's mum and dad had been through. Try and help.
So, like, I was about to ask, like, why did you, like, keep doing it? And you answered my question there.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Why did you want to do that charity, not any other?
I think, like a lot of people do in life, they fall into things by accident, really. Obviously, I personally did the fundraising thing, and then carried on with Logan's Fund. And then, before you know it, you're in deep, and you're passionate about it, and you think you're making a real difference. So that's why I do Logan's Fund, and I think that's probably why everybody else that gets involved does it as well. They think that we are making a difference, and the feedback we get from families is that we are making a definite difference, and we've got something really special going. So
how many families do you normally have within Logan's Fund?
Do we help? Our YPI groups always ask how many families have you helped, and it's a really difficult question. We have Logan's Sunny Days, which is a respite caravan, so it's been open a year. So families come and stay for a week at a time. So theoretically, over the course of a year, hopefully this year we'll possibly see about 40 different families at Logan's Sunny Days alone, as well as all the other initiatives that we do. So we try and help do a good, maybe one grant one family something every month, if not some months we'll possibly help two or three families with different things, as well as Logan's Sunny Days. We're about to launch another initiative as well this year, so that'll add to that figure. So it's just always growing. So it's difficult to say how many families in a year now. It's difficult to pinpoint exactly.
So where can they find either websites or places to go on?
We've got our website, www.logansfund.org. We've got a Facebook page, Logan's Fund, Twitter account, @LogansFund. All the contact details are on our website as well. That's probably the easiest place we've got a page specifically devoted to how to get in touch with us. So one of the things we really want people to do is if they are aware of a family who've got a child that's going through treatment or in remission, we'll help families through years of remission as well, because sometimes through their treatment it's not really all they want to do is for their kid to get better. So getting support and help from a charity isn't necessarily always top of the agenda, so we will help families whose child in remission. But if you do know MD, just we really want families to get in touch with us, or friends, or family of families to get in touch with us and let us know, and we'll get in touch with family and see how we can help.
Well, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't forget to add us to your favourites. www.radiobucky.co.uk.
For one night only, Spotlight jumps on board the brand new Logan's Fun Story Express.
Hi.
I'm talking to the driver, being Ellis. Right then, Ellis, I believe you have a little announcement to make to your fellow passengers.
I have just became a junior champion for the Logan's Fund.
Hence the reason why you've changed the name of your show to
The Story Logan's Fund Express.
Okay. So, are we excited?
Yes, very.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
20 million.
I thought you might be. Good. So you're planning on doing things like a Phoebe's Fairy Box appeal?
Yes.
So in a nutshell, what do you think Phoebe's Fairy Box is?
Phoebe's Fairy Box is basically a box that maybe you get a couple of your friends or a couple of family members, and they put maybe books or toys and storybooks and basically things that children normally play with, so that other children that do have cancer can have fun and feel peace and happiness.
Exactly. Okay, that is it for my stop on board the Logan's Fund Story Express. I'm jumping off at the next station, so Ellis is back after this next break with some more fun on board the Logan's Fund Story Express.
Hello and all aboard. Today we are starting off the story Logan's Fund Express with a book, one of my favourites. It's by H.L. Dennis, and it's called The Secret Breakers, Tower of the Winds. Now, the Secret Breakers is about an Egyptian tomb and basically like treasures and things that children or kids don't normally find every day. And there's these three kids and their mum and their dad. And the dad rides a motorcycle and he thinks he's basically cool, but he's not. Their mum, though, she's cool. The three kids are, well, they're not ordinary. I'll read you the blurb. A body buried in an ancient, encrypted tomb, a captured ship with stolen treasure, letters revealed long hidden secrets, with truths, what truths will emerge to help crack the ancient coded manuscript no one can read. Brody, Hunter, and Teresa must now risk everything in their quest to break the most mysterious code in the world. As they race against the clock, lives will change forever on the Tower in the Wind. These two kids called Lizzie and Jacob have said, an epic adventure, exciting, funny. And this is for ages 9 and plus. It's $6.99 and you can visit the world of Secret Breakers at hldennis.com. All non-capitals, no spaces except from the dot. And yeah, that is our first book. And our second book is The Mystery of the Missing Necklace by Ida Burton. Now, there are these kids, two girls and a boy. And their mum or auntie loses a really, really expensive necklace that has real diamonds on it. And they need to find it back. Here is the blurb. Fatty discovers are bigger than ever. Who told them that he is the woman stealing balloons or a grumpy man from the village? Fatty hears all sorts of things in disguise and leads the find-outers right into another mystery. Can our friends catch the gang who stole the missing necklace? It's 8 and plus, it's $6.99, and if you go to your local library and search the mystery of the missing necklace, you might find it. Now, our third book is Witch Glitch, a Witch Wars adventure. It's by Spellerpin Ponder. And here's the blurb. The witches of Sinkville are having a wobble when Tega discovers an old book called The Krakens by Froddle's favourite author. Gloria Tattle, it's not long before she and her friends start receiving mysterious letters offering to make their wishes come true, but each one comes with a nasty surprise, and before you can say Froggle knickers, the gang are in the middle of another adventure, and this time there's a castle made of jelly. Here are some of the notes. Sorry we thought you were evil. And there's basically loads and loads of stuff happening on the blurb. And that was the third book. My fourth and most favourite book of a series is Diary of the Wimpy Kid, Dog Days. Now, Diary of the Wimpy Kid, Dog Days is by Jeff Kinney. And There's six books plus this one, which is seven, and there's, I think it's maybe 3 to 4 movies on it, and it's really, really good. Here's the blurb. The way I like to spend my summer holiday is in front of the TV, playing video games, with the curtains closed and the light turned off. Here's his mum. You should really let some sunlight in here. Unfortunately, mum's idea of a perfect summer holiday is different from mine. Greg's mum has a vision of family togetherness that really doesn't sound a whole lot of fun. But there's a brand new addition to the Heffley family to contend with, and it looks like Greg might be outnumbered. It could be a real dog of a summer. The Sunday Telegraph says, hilarious. It's for 9 and over, and it's $6.99. And if you go to puffinbooks.com, you can find it there. Or you can go wimpykidclub.co.uk, and you might find it there. It's an additional bestseller. And my fifth book, and this was a book I love, and it got turned into something more elaborate, more exciting. The BFG by Roald Dahl, an exclusive fun activities, quiz, and more inside. These bits were for normally just for kids. And here's the blurb. Now, a major motion picture from the human beings that create E.T. and the author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Matilda. On a dark, silvery moonlit night, Sophie is snatched from her bed by a giant. Luckily, it is the big friendly giant, the BFG, who only eats snoozecumbers and glogs Fosstockle. But there are other giants in giant country. 50-foot brooders who gulp far and wide every night to find human beings to eat. Sophie decides she must stop them once and for all, and the BFG is going to help her. It is for 9 and over. It's $6.99. And if you live in America, it's $12.99. You can visit www.penguin.co.uk. Or you can visit www.roaldahl.com. And my last book, it's The Wizard of Oz. It's a book that I got when I was really little. And it's by Robert Brenner. And it's well-loved tales. Normally you get these with either your school or like primary school or nursery to read. Grade 1 is normally like the Elf and the Shoemaker and the Three Little Pigs. And grade 2 is Sleeping Beauty and Rumpelstiltskin. And grade 3 is Cinderella and Jack and the Beanstalk. Stuff like that. And there is no blurb, but I will read a little bit from the start of the story. The Great Whirlwind. Dorothy was an orphan. She lived in America in the middle of the Great Kansas Prairie with her Aunt Henry, who was a farmer, and Aunt Em, his wife. Their house is small with only one room and a trap door in the floor leading to a cellar. This was because they were often whirlwinds in the prairie that crashed any buildings in their path. When they came, the family went down into the cellar and were safe. When Dorothy looked out, she saw nothing but the great grey prairie. There were no trees and the earth was cracked by the sun. Even Aunt Em and Uncle Henry looked grey. They worked hard and never smiled. Dorothy did look grey. She laughed and played with her little black dog, Toto. Dorothy loved him dearly. One day the sky grew very grey. Uncle Henry looked worried. Dorothy picked up Toto. Aunt Em was washing the dishes. They heard the low whirl of the wind and saw the grass ripping and bending. "There's a whirlwind coming, Em," cried Uncle Henry and ran to look after the cows. "Quick, Dorothy," Aunt Em screamed. "Run for the cellar." She opened the trap door and scuttled down the ladder. Just as Dorothy grabbed Toto, the wind caught the house and she fell headlong on the floor. The house whirled around two or three times and rose slowly in the air. This book, as I said, is normally for preschool children. It's from the Ladybird Books Ltd, or Ladybook Books Inc. And it's for ages 7 and up, and it's 99p. Thank you for joining me. This is the last station. I hope you have enjoyed. Goodbye.
I hope you've enjoyed the show and hope you will listen in next time.